I got a job working at a factory, and I was working for a manufacturing business as I went to school for machining and tool making and all those things. And I got an internship my senior year, and that led into a job the second summer of school, same company that I worked for of college, I meant. And God opened things up for us. I worked there for probably 2 years or so. And there was a man that was there. And what one of my responsibilities was is that I'm reminded of is they were a plastic mold company, and they made plastic injection molds. They didn't make the product itself, but they made the aluminum molds that would come together, and they would squirt plastic down in it, and you get toys, and you get whatever it was. And so this one, all the time, there was a man there from Romania. His name was Flory. And so Flory, he did not like to get on the forklift. He didn't like to touch it. He didn't like to sit on it. He didn't go near it. And so one of my jobs was to, when one of the workers needed to have one of these huge, heavy aluminum pieces of block stuck on their table for machining, it was one of my responsibilities when they say, "Hey, Scott, I need this one picked up," and I would bring the crane over and the forklift, and I would put it on the forklift, and I would get it onto their machine table. And they would do all the work, but I was that guy. I was just the guy that just kind of ran around and did stuff. This particular time when I worked there. Later on, I end up being in the office and doing stuff in the office, but I was the guy to put the molds on the table. And I knew it bugged Flory to no end, and that he wanted to get his work done. And you know, Scott never jokes with anybody. And so what I would do is I would purposely drive as slow as I possibly could. And I claimed it to be safety. But really what I was doing was I was annoying Flory to no end. Because he was wanting to get his the work done. And he would say this, "Go fast. You go fast." Remember, he's from Romania. "You go fast. Come on, I got work to do. You go fast." And I would go as slow as I possibly could. He was wanting to get the work done. He was wanting to make sure the thing that he was assigned to do was getting done. And I would purposely slow him down. Amen. We are living in some crazy times right now that seems to slow us down. And God is calling us and asking us to go fast. Come on, God is calling us and asking us to go further. God is putting something in us as a church to say enough is enough. This is not time to be playing games in our walk with God. I was doing that just because I like to joke and I was playing games. And God is telling us today, enough is enough. We must realize that God has got some pretty amazing stuff for us as a church. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers and disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy, without natural affection and truth. Breakers and false accusers, incontinent and fierce and despisers of those that are good, traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." This is the day and age that we live in. This is where we are at every day of our lives that we live currently right now. This is where the church is at. And as Timothy would write, or Paul would write to Timothy, these are the signs of the times in the end days. Amen. And look at this. Verse 5, we always point this to everybody else. We always point this to the religious sect and the religious world. But this includes us having a form of godliness. but denying the power thereof. That includes the church. Times where we don't really pray in faith, but we're just speaking words. Having a form of godliness, but we totally deny the power that we have, amen? From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin and led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Everyone say, it's time. If I were to have a real focus verse that I would focus on, it would be this, Psalms 119, 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. It's time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. They have made void the things of God. They have made void the precepts of God. They have made void the concepts of God. And they are so far away from the things of God. Lord, they have totally kicked you out of the church. God, it's time for you to work. God, it's time for us to see your hand in motion. God, it's time for you to move in our families. God, it's time for us not to just pray those prayers of faith, but actually see those prayers come into action. Amen. Hallelujah. It's time. And as I've already said, we're at the right place at the right time. God has got us here as a movement on purpose. Praise God. God has got us here for a reason. God has positioned us in the right place on purpose. Amen. We cannot go on thinking, well, it'll happen next year. It'll happen 3 years from now. It'll happen 10 years from now. We must have the mindset now that any day we're going to see. We're going to see. Jamie's going to see this coworker. Come on, receive the Holy Ghost. We're going to see this coworker come back to God and not just slip away into some other church, but come back to God in the trueness of truth. Amen. Praise God. Do you realize how many connections we have as a church? Do you realize the influence we have as a movement? Do you realize if we were to give account of all of the different connections every one of us has, it would more than double the church. Come on. It would more than double the church. God, we've got, it's time now, Lord. We've been praying this week, Lord. God, unless you draw people. God, unless you be the one that pulls and tugs at hearts, Lord. God, we've been praying, Lord, and I believe that we are in position. Hallelujah. Cannot find ourselves being lured to sleep. We cannot find ourselves in the mix of the list of people in 2 Timothy as I read. The generation that we are living in is the Eutychus generation. Amen. The Eutychus generation. Ian would say to me every so often, because we put restrictions on things in our house, he would say, I'm bored. And you know what my response is? Ian, I don't care about your boredom right now. I'm more concerned that he grows up as an apostolic rather than sitting his face in front of a computer or sitting his face in front of his game console for hours upon end, and it's not at all connected to God. I don't care about your boredom right now. Go find something to do. Go pray. Go read. Go outside. Go do something. Could it be that we get so bored with being Christians? Come on, God wants us to be engaged with what he is doing. God wants us to say, it's time, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, use me, Lord. Amen. Eutychus generation is a distracted generation, an ADHD generation, That was unheard of when I was a child. And all of a sudden, it's increased like 46% over the last several years. It's increased so heavily. An ADHD generation, why does it seem that more and more people are claiming that they have this problem? They can't pay attention. Hyperactivity disorder. Oh, look, squirrel. It's in our movies. Because it's so common today. The world is changing rapidly and constantly. It's constantly on the move. And we are constantly bombarded with new this, new that. We're constantly bombarded by these things, and we've got to go out and get the latest and greatest iPhone 3000. I don't have an iPhone. I don't know if they're that number yet or not. But we're always wanting something new. We're always having to go out, and the problem is we bring that into the church. We bring it into the church, and I said at prayer meeting, and Jamie made reference to it, how many come to prayer and you can say, wow, I put an hour in but only actually prayed for 10 minutes because you're so busy flipping through stuff. Because we want something. What happens is we get the endorphins and we get the addiction factor going on that it distracts us from what God is trying to put in our minds. Instead of this stupid thing, all of the social media and the things that we get our kicks off of, we allow those things to be the voice in our lives instead of hearing what God wants us to hear. God help us. The media has stopped focusing on giving you information and simply bombards you with opinion and outrage and shocking things that are happening in the world. Guess what? God knows what's going on. God knows exactly what's going on. Amen. How many have heard how many times that our nation is about to implode? Come on. We heard that 5 years ago. We hear it over and over again. Oh, everything's going to implode on itself because of the crazy media. God knows what he's doing. Amen. More people are more able to multitask than ever before. They have too much to think about and too much to remember and too stressed out and too much struggling and too much rushing around and falling behind and we can't make it to church and we can't make it to prayer and we can't get ourselves into the Word of God and you know, we just aren't able to do all this, Lord. Well, get some things out of your life. Not the Lord. Amen. Remove some stuff. We talked about altar building. They did that to set them up so that they could pray and communicate with God. Amen. Make some altars in your life. Find that place of prayer. Find that connection with Him. Hallelujah. And we have simply allowed the syndrome, ADHD, to creep into the church. God help us. God, in all of you, Lord, we can find our satisfaction, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, in all of him. Praise God. Eutychus generation. God, help deliver us from this Eutychus generation, Lord. God can't fill our cups when our cups are already full with everything else. It's time. It's time. It's time to have revival. It's time to see revival in the church. It's time that we not have an empty baptismal tank. It's time where we are not so focused on ourselves when we come to the altar, but that we're focused on everybody else that's here that doesn't have the Holy Ghost. Come on, we as a church, I'm looking across here, we need to be already filled and have all of our problems taken. That's why we have pre-service prayer, folks. That's why we urge you to come on a Tuesday night. make sure our lives are right, because there are hundreds of people in Center County that need what you and I have. Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. How would you like it if we just continued until midnight tonight? Hallelujah, just preach the whole time. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, and they were gathered there together. And there sat in the window a certain, everybody say, young man. He was of a different generation. Come on. He was of a different generation. Could it be that he was sitting there with his phone? Could it be that he was being preoccupied by something else? Could it be that his attention was on everything else but what was being preached? Yet he was still in church. Yet he was still there present, but his mind was not present. Amen. Name Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep. And listen, he fell out from the third loft and was taken up dead. He died because he fell out of the third story window. I think any one of us that fall out of the third story window completely tired and sleep, and we would die too. Amen. Eutychus, being of a younger generation, didn't see the importance of church. He was sitting on the edge of the church and simply fell asleep. God help us today that none of us are here on the edge of the church. That none of us under the sound of my voice is sitting on the edge and really your heart's not even here. Amen. All the while the preaching was going on, Paul was experiencing the move of the Holy Ghost. They were having church. Hallelujah. I mean, there was tongues in interpretation. There was the moving of God's presence. There was healing going on. There was, I mean, the music was rocking. And here we have somebody sitting on the edge of the church. And Eutychus was sleeping. And he fell three stories out of the window, all while the move of God was happening. Amen. Paul goes down in verse 10. And he fell on him and embraced him and said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again, Paul raised him from the, God raised him from the dead through Paul. Amen. And when he therefore came up again, they sat and ate bread, and they ate, and they talked a long while, even until the breaking of the next morning. They ended up talking all night about the miracle that took place. And they brought that they brought the young man alive, and they were not a little comforted. What that means is, another translation says it this way: the people took the young man home alive, and they were greatly comforted. Wouldn't you be comforted if you had somebody that you were to bring home in the next morning and they died? I'd be comforted too. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. How many are thankful when God pulls off a miracle? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a way to be remembered is the guy who fell asleep during church. All throughout Scripture, you're the guy. And it's not just claimed as the guy who fell asleep during church. They gave Howard's raising his hand over there. I do it. Eutychus is remembered throughout history as the guy who fell asleep. Seth does it all the time as well. I think the last three times I've ministered, Seth was sleeping. And I even have proof. I got a photo of it last time. I walked right up to him that first time, and I'm shaking his hand. He's had no idea. Are you sitting on the edge of the church, Seth? My point is, if we're not careful, we can miss it. We can miss what God is doing. I don't want to miss what God is doing in the church. I don't want to miss what God is doing in the lives of people around me. Come on, we have to pay attention to what the Holy Ghost is saying. Amen? The Lord is doing the work. He is the one that's working things in the background. He is the one that is setting things up. He is the one that leads. Amen. I told Sergio this week, where the Lord leads, he feeds. Where he guides, he provides. How many believe that God is in control of this thing? Amen. He is the one who leads us. He is the one who provides for us. He is the one who gives us direction. Hallelujah. Come on. We need that in the church today. God, let yourself, Lord, it's time, Lord, let yourself move in our lives, Lord, in such a manner where we grab hold of the vision for the church, Lord, the vision that you've given Pastor, God. I pray it right now over every saint of the church. I pray it over our lives, Lord. I pray it into our families, Lord. I pray it over Center County, Lord. I pray it over the campus, God. Hallelujah. It's time. God speaks to Moses. He says, listen, buddy. He's there at the burning bush. He says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. I don't know if it was a deep voice like that, but it sounded good, I hope. He says, let my people go. And so as we know the account, the 10 plagues come down upon the Egyptians, and they experience the water turning into blood, and they experience the frogs and the lice and the flies and the locusts, and they experience their diseased livestock dying, and they experience the boils and the darkness, and all these things happen upon the Egyptians, and they were there and they saw these things happen. And then that final plague comes where all the firstborn of the Egyptians died, and all of this happened, and it was because of the blood that was applied to the doorpost and to the upper post that the children of Israel did not get affected. Hallelujah. Come on, it was because of the blood that they were able to escape Egypt. Moses hightails the children of Israel out of Egypt. In chapter 14 of Exodus, God gives the instruction to Moses for the 600,000 men on foot, and that's not including the women and children. That's a huge crowd. Hallelujah. And you can find that number in Exodus chapter 12. It was a ton of people. And God, because of the blood, protected those people. How many understand today it's because of the blood that we're protected? It's because of the blood that's applied in prayer. As I taught on Wednesday night, it's because of us pleading the blood over the church that we're able to do what we're doing. Hallelujah. As opposition was arising, and guess what God's people do? They go off and they rejoice. And they sing, and they begin to have amazing church. Hallelujah. Everybody knows the account, right? Shake your head if you know the account, because you're wrong. That's not what they did. Jamie, now he's shaking his head no. He shook his head yeah. Now he's like, uh-uh. All right, is everybody good for this morning? They didn't go off and have church when the opposition came. They didn't go off and sing and dance. They did quite the opposite. Exodus chapter 14, 11. Hallelujah. They begin to complain. They begin to say to Moses, why in the world did you bring us out here to die? They begin to complain and doubt the things of God. Exodus 14, 11. And they said unto Moses, because there is no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Therefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt. It is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone. They wanted to stay in their comfort zone. They didn't want to go where God was wanting them to go, that we may serve the Egyptians. Just let us stay and serve the Egyptians. There's no reason for us to go and actually step out on faith. Come on. That we should die in the wilderness. We don't need to go die in the wilderness, Moses. They wanted to go back. Their mindset was, I'd rather be in slavery. I'd rather be in bondage. I'd rather be Eutychus sitting on the side of the church not paying attention. I'd rather be just going with the motion. I'd rather be the pew warmer. I don't want to be engaged in what God is doing. I don't want to get out there and teach a Bible study. I don't want to serve and do whatever God is asking me to do. Hallelujah. Come on, it's time. It's time. Moses was different. Verse 13, he wanted to simply just stand still. Look at what he says. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, just stay here. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." He had some faith, but he didn't want to go any further. We're going to just stand still. We're going to stay here and not move. And I don't know how it's going to happen, but the Lord's going to work this thing out. Come on, verse 14 says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace." The Egyptians were coming in from behind. They were fearful for their lives. Oh, we would be better if we just stayed in Egypt. And Moses says, you know what? Just stand still. Don't go anywhere. Don't move. Don't pray the prayers that's going to unlock this thing. Don't go further in your walk with God. Just stand still. The Lord wanted something totally different from the both of them. Look what it says. Verse 15. "And the Lord said to Moses, Wherefore cry thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." Do we understand here today that God has got some places for us to go forward? He does not want us to be part of the Eutychus generation. He does not want us to just sit back and fall asleep while everybody else is having church. Nor does he want us just to stand still and not get engaged in what the church is doing. But he wants us to go forward. He is telling the church today that it is time to be engaged. It's all in or all out. Come on, we have to be engaged in teaching Bible studies. We have to be engaged in talking to people that don't know Christ like we know Christ. We have to be engaged. Now is the time. This year is the time. We are here, set here on purpose for a reason. And God is telling us, now's the time. Amen. As we know, if you continue to read verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by the strong east wind all that night. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. That was verse 21. I don't think I stuck it in there. Sorry. Hallelujah. He says this, or I just read you the verse. "The east wind is the wind of affliction and trial." Early on in my walk with the Lord, I even have a note in my Bible saying, there's got to be something about the winds of God. And through the process of studying and through the process of learning, the east wind, when we read about the east wind, and I'm not going to teach a whole Bible study on the winds, but when you look at the east wind, that wind is affliction and trials. How many want to have the east wind? Look at the hands. Come on. Look at the hands. If it's going to make us better, yes. If it's going to deliver us from something, yes. Amen. God is going to bring things into our lives, not to damage us, not to hurt us, not so that we could be kicked down, but God brings these things into our lives because he wants to make it better for us. Amen. God might just bring something into your life as we go forward that will bring a trial into your life. It's not fun, it's not comfortable, but in order for us to go forward, to be delivered from the enemy, we must experience the east wind in our lives. We must recognize the enemy that's coming from behind, but we must not continually look behind and say it was better back then, but we must stay in tune with the Holy Ghost. Say, God, let's go forward together. How many know today that God is with us to go forward together? God is with us and he can put us in the palm of his hand, and whatever comes down our road, we can handle because we trust in him. It's not fun. It's not comfortable. Anytime we get ourselves, and we talked about this in prayer this week, about being put on the examination table. Nobody just cries out and said, oh, pick me, pick me. Trials must come. Hallelujah. The east wind brings division into our lives. We don't like those kind of things. If the east wind is strong enough to separate an entire sea, don't you think it's enough for the power to blow in our lives to separate some stuff out of our lives? Perhaps God brings the east wind into your life so that he can push the things that are not necessary out, so that we can get our focus on what he wants us to focus on. He wants us to get focused in the idea that it is time for us to go forward as a movement. It is time for you to go forward in your relationship with God. It is time deeper is not just an event. It's time for us to go deeper in our walk with God. Amen. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I believe that there's enough power in the east wind to separate things out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The east wind did not destroy the sea. It didn't destroy the sea, yet it caused quite a division. But when it was all said and done, the sea was right back to the way it was before. Other than the fact that now the people of God were on the other side. And you could look back at your trials and say, thank you, God, for bringing me through this Red Sea crossing. Thank you, Lord, that you destroyed the enemy through this. Thank you, Lord, that now I understand why you've allowed me to go through these things, Lord. And now I can go forward in you, God. Hallelujah. It changed the wet to the dry. The east wind is a wind of change. Hallelujah. It changed the covered to the uncovered. It changed it from the impassable to the passable. Amen. Even though the affliction sounds like a bad thing, it's not always bad. Remember a message that I heard from Pastor Betterly. The blessings of God many times become curses, and the curses that we think are curses are actually the blessings. Many times it's all in the way that we, our perspective of the things that we're going through. Hallelujah. The east wind helped them get to the promised land. And the only way to get to that promised land was through the Red Sea. Amen. Change doesn't help us any unless out of change comes progress. We've stepped through as a church some times of the east wind. Come on. And God has us on the other side of the crossing. And God is taking us forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. As the Lord works, we need to trust that he knows what he's doing. As the days and the hours that we live in this time period that God has placed us. Though it may look like it's not going to happen, the Lord is going to return. Amen. He is doing this, and he will protect us. Hallelujah. He's the one that's building this. Except the Lord build the house. They that labor and build it in vain. Come on, God is the one that's doing this. Except the Lord keep or guard the city. The watchman that guards, he does it all in vain. And I'd much rather put my trust in the things of God than to put my trust in man or to put my trust in myself and my own abilities. God is the one that's working. How many would agree with me today that it's time? It's time to be engaged. It's time to get the work done. It's time for God to move. God, the world has no law of you. And God, they have forsaken those things. And Lord, it is time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. As Jeremy would come, go ahead and just play Spirit Breakout again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's all come up to the front here today. Come on, it's time. It's time. Knowing we just got through a week of prayer. I knew I didn't need to preach on repentance. We didn't need to necessarily preach on the altar. We did that this week. But we need to understand that it's time for us to do something. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that we're not doing anything. We have an amazing church. We really do have an amazing church. But I wonder what would happen if every one of our college students discipled somebody else. They took it upon themselves to say, you know what? Brother Patterson, I see this. I'm not gonna just spend my time here at college just to get a degree. What would happen if every year of the 4 or 5 years they said, you know what? I'm gonna disciple just one. The group that's here right now would double next year. And if that group would disciple somebody else, that whole group would multiply. I wonder what would happen if every one of us realized the day and the hour which we live, and that we have to wake up out of our sleep, and we can't be sleeping at the side of the church. But God wants us to be engaged in the harvest. We pray, Lord, send forth therefore laborers into the harvest. Yes, that's for people that we don't know that may come into the church. But I've said this before. What if you're a prayer of somebody else's prayer to send forth laborers and we just sit back and do nothing? Bible studies to be taught. People to be reached, students' lives to be changed. I've been preaching it at campus church that we would see the place filled. Hallelujah. It's been going over and over in my mind this week that God's Spirit is the Spirit that prevails in State College. His Spirit is the Spirit that prevails. We're not fighting necessarily. Yes, we fight against flesh and blood. I know Scripture. But could it be that it's not so much the enemy from without that's causing us not to grow, but the enemy from within? Our own selves cause us not to grow. We have a hard time finding a place to pray, and we expect God to open this thing up. We have a hard time all this week praying, and I prayed on Saturday night, Lord, where is it, Lord? Where your Scripture says there be groanings that cannot be uttered. Where are the intercessors? Where are the ones that will grab hold of the altar and cry out for our city? Where are the ones that will cry out for our campus? God, you are the prevailing Spirit, Lord. God, you are omnipresent, Lord. Everybody raise your hands all across this place. God, you're all present, Lord. God, you are everywhere at the same time. God, your divine presence encompasses everything, Lord. God, it encompasses State College. It encompasses the United States. It encompasses the world, Lord, and the universe. God, you are the prevailing Spirit, Lord. You are all present, Lord. You are omnipresent, Lord. God, there is nowhere where you don't inhabit, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Come on, he is all-knowing. He's omniscience. He's all-knowing. He's aware of the past and present and future. There's nothing that takes him by surprise. He knows everything. His knowledge is total. He knows what needs to be done. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, seek the Lord today. Seek him while he yet may be found. Come on, the Lord is all powerful. We've got to believe that he's all powerful. God, it's time for us to be engaged in what you're doing, Lord. God, engaged in what you're doing in Center County. Engaged in what you're doing on our campus, Lord. Engaged in what you're doing in our families, Lord. God, help us to be spiritually in tune with what you're doing, Lord, and what you're speaking, Lord. God, you are all powerful. God, there's nothing that can stop you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, there's no limitations in you. Come on, he's not limited. Hallelujah. The only one that limits God is ourselves. Hallelujah. God has the power over the wind. God has the power over the waters. God has the power over the earth. Hallelujah. He is limitless. God can work in any situation. Come on, be engaged. Oh, seek him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God will work. Who will let? God will work. Who will let? Hallelujah. Is there anyone under the sound of my voice here today that would agree with me? Oh, send me, Lord. Send me, Lord Jesus. As you lift your hands, Lord, these hands, Lord, they're available unto you, Lord Jesus. God, I'm available, Lord. God, wherever the feet, my feet would go, Lord. Let it be shod with the preparation of the gospel. God, wherever you would send me, hallelujah. Come on, our greatest ability is our availability. Our greatest ability is our availability. Hallelujah. Stretch forth your hand, Lord. God, you do the work. God, help us to be available to whatever it is that you've called us to do. Hallelujah. Help us to be all that you've called us to be. Help us to go wherever you called us to go. Hallelujah. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost today. Jamie said it earlier. Too many times we are too small-minded and we can't even imagine what the Lord is going to do. He is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. Hallelujah. Or think. I may be paraphrasing it. That's not an exact quote. Hallelujah. But he's able to do it. Come on, do you see yourself being used? Come on, every hand raised, every eye shut. Envision yourself talking to somebody new about the things of God. Come on, envision yourself teaching a home Bible study. Envision yourself driving to church with somebody in your car. God, stir us again, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Where it bothers us, Lord, if we don't bring somebody to church. God, stir us again, Lord. God, where it's not about us, Lord Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh. Come on, envision yourself bringing multitudes, not just one or two here and there, but something gets to the core of you where it wakes you up and you begin to pray for people. God, Oh, I come against the Eutychus mentality. God, I come against this Eutychus spirit, Lord. Help us to be engaged. Come on, it's time. It's time to pray like we've never prayed before. Oh, it's time to fast like we've never fasted before. I pray right now, a spirit of fasting. God, a spirit of prayer. God, that would rest upon us, that it's not just something that the church calls, Lord, but we are directed of you, God, to go for after it, Lord, to go up for it, Lord Jesus. It's time for us to be engaged. Open our ears to hear your voice, Lord, that we be led of the Holy Ghost to pray and to fast. Not that it's just something that we fill on our calendars or on our time schedule for the day, but that we long to be in your presence once again. Hallelujah. Come on, it's time to seek the Lord like you've never sought him before. Oh, we've had experiences in God. Oh, and we've talked in tongues. But God has greater depths for us. Come on, it's time for us to step out on faith like we've never done before. It's time for us to reach out like we've never reached before. Desires of the move of his presence. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to shout out, it's time. Come on, someone needs to shout out, it's time.
It's time.
Oh, it's time.
It's time.
Hallelujah. Those who hunger and thirst after being right with him shall be filled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing and worship unto the Lord. Hallelujah.